Well, if you're still searching for that perfect gift, you still have time. I told the early group that the clock is ticking, and I'm going to start being good about 2:30 this afternoon. But it is a great time of the year, giving of gifts. Today I'd like to speak to you about the gift that keeps on giving. You see sometimes some advertisements about those kind of gifts. And this gift that keeps on giving is actually a gift that you can give yourself. When you give yourself a gift, it usually fits, and it's usually pleasing, and you usually like it. I think about a member of our church when we lived in Arkansas, and he, for Christmas one year, bought his wife a deer rifle that he planned to use. And the amazing thing about that was she was fine with that. So he married well. And so giving a gift that you could give to yourself. It's a gift that's crucial if you're going to live a balanced life. It is a gift that is crucial if you would desire to resist becoming bitter, cynical, depressed, defeated. There are people probably in this room today, you have some issues with maybe the church, or with a parent, or with a child, or with a friend, or a neighbor, or a coworker, somebody who has injured you, and you're harboring resentment against them. And because of that, you're, without even knowing it, you're being followed and overcome by bitterness and cynicism and anger. And I would just tell you, if you don't deal and receive, give this gift to yourself, as time goes by, and as you grow older, then your life will be characterized by bitterness and cynicism and pessimism. And so it is a very important gift. It is an incredibly crucial gift, and it's one that's within your reach. It's one that you can actually give to yourself. The gift that I'm talking to you about is based on the incredible gift that God has offered to us. 2 Corinthians 9:15, Paul says, "Thanks be to God for His inexpressible gift." Now, you know what he's talking about there. He's talking about the gift of Jesus Christ. And when you receive the gift of Jesus Christ, there comes an incredible amount of things in your life. There comes eternal life, which is foremost. There comes an abiding joy that you really can't explain. There comes a sense of fullness into your life and balance, and it's an absolutely astounding thing and a huge piece of what happens when you receive the gift of Jesus Christ is that you are forgiven. You're forgiven. And because of that forgiveness, your life is absolutely turned around. In fact, by doing that, Jesus Christ is fulfilling one of His names. In Matthew 1:21, the angel is speaking to Joseph and assuring him that he needs to marry Mary. And the angel said to him, "She will bear a son, and you shall call His name Jesus, for He will save His people from their sins." The name Jesus means Savior, and His name tells us who He is and why He came. And so I would just tell you that to the Hebrew mindset, the meaning of a person's name was very important. And I think it would be very interesting, if you've never done this, if you look up the meaning of your name, you may be astounded at how your name actually describes a lot of your character. So you need to be careful what you name your children, because you're actually giving them a bit of character. And so His name means the one who will save His people from their sins. And a gigantic part of that is forgiveness. So I'd like to ask you to find in your Bible Matthew chapter 18, verses 23 through 35. Since Jesus Christ's name implies He's come to forgive, then He is an expert on the subject. And so the passage in Matthew is a story that Jesus Christ told. He's a master storyteller, and this is an incredible story that emphasizes the gift that keeps on giving. It is a gift that you can give to yourself today. So if you've got Matthew 18, tell me, say, "I got it." This side's got it. Y'all got it? Y'all got it. Y'all just the silent getters. All right. Matthew 18, 23 through 35. "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you everything." And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, "Pay what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you." He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should you not have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you?" And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. And then verse 35 is the kicker. "So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart." The gift you can give yourself is the gift of forgiveness. I'd like to break down this story. We'll start with the basis for the gift of forgiveness. You'll note in the story there is a debt that is real. There's a king, and the king owned everything. He's the wealthiest man in the kingdom. And he had a servant who had run up, in our money today, about a $10 million debt. Now, I don't know, but it takes quite a bit of doing to run up a debt like that. And so he owes the king $10 million. And it's known. What he did with it, nobody knows. But he owes this $10 million, and it comes time to settle the account. And so there is then a demand that's required. The king calls in his servant and says, "You've got a debt you owe me. Pay up." Well, there's a difficulty in paying up. He didn't have the $10 million. And so in the New Testament times, if you owed somebody a debt you couldn't pay and they called in the debt, then you would have to sell everything that you had to go toward the debt. You would have to sell your wife, your kids, everything that you had, sell that, take the money, give it. And if that wasn't enough, then you were put in prison. And somehow there was a workplace where you could earn and pay off the debt. But this guy owed $10 million. Now, he wasn't married to my wife, so he couldn't get $10 million for her. So obviously he would never be able to pay this back. And so he's really got an issue. And so there then comes his response. He went to the king and he repented. He apologized. He said, "Man, I'll do whatever I've got to do." He threw himself on the mercy of the king. And so the king then, he issued a decree. And the decree was, "I'm going to cancel the debt." The king was the only one that could do that because it's the king that he owed the money. And so for some reason, just out of the goodness of his heart, the king said, "I know you owe me 10 mil. I hear your heart in this. And I'm just going to let it go." At that point, for the servant, it's shouting ground, wouldn't you agree? I mean, you just got released a $10 million debt. You don't have to pay it. And so, man, it's now time to really have a little happy fit. Well, there's some applications there that I hope you see are very clear. The first is this. You and I are running up a pretty high debt with God. And all of us have a debt. The Bible says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Some people are running up a really big debt. Some people's debt may not be quite so big, but we all have a debt. And please understand, there is a day coming when God's going to settle the account. And the wages of our sin is death. The way we pay back our debt is with our own very life. Death. And so we have this debt that is real. We've got this payment that is required. And then I hope that you see how God in Jesus Christ has made a way to pay our debt for us. The day of reckoning and the day that the debt is paid, it is paid at the foot of the cross. Jesus Christ of the perfect life did not have a debt to pay, willingly died on the cross to pay our debt. It's like your kid comes to you and says, "Dad, will you let me have some money?" And you say, "Why?" And they say, "So I can go buy you a Christmas gift." And so there's this gigantic debt that you have and that I have, and Jesus Christ pays it, and He gives us this offer, this gift of forgiveness. Now, our response has to be, when we hear the offer, is to embrace it and to say, "Lord, I receive this gift of forgiveness." And I tell you, when we do that, it, just like this servant with the 10 million, it puts us on shouting ground. This huge debt that I've run up against God, who is holy and righteous, and I'm not holy and righteous, and all the stuff that I have done, all the stuff I should have done but didn't do, all of that sin, all of that rebellion, all of that, Jesus Christ says, "I forgive you." It's an incredible gift. Somebody may say, "But Brother Jim, you don't know what I've done. You don't know the evil that I have done. You don't know the pain I've caused people. You don't know any of that." I don't have to know any of that. But what I can tell you is this. There's no one who has ever lived who has gone beyond the ability of God's grace to forgive them. And that includes you and me. And so there's this incredible gift on the table. It is a gift of forgiveness. Some people will say, "Look, I'm going to get my forgiveness by trying to be a good person." And that's a noble thing. However, it doesn't matter how good you are, you still have those bad things following behind you. Somebody may say, "You know what, I'm going to go to church. And by going to church, then that's going to cover that up." Well, no, it's not really. The only thing that is going to give us forgiveness is when we embrace the offer of Jesus Christ, receive Him into our lives, and receive this gift. Eternal life, a quality of life, unending joy, and the forgiveness of our sins. So that's a very clear part of this story. Jesus Christ has come to forgive His people of their sins, to save His people. But there's another part as the story continues. I call it the blunder of the gift. There's another debt that is real. This guy who got forgiven 10 million has a friend who owes him about 20 bucks. And obviously this friend is extremely poor, in poverty. He can't pay the 20 bucks. And he doesn't have anything that amounts to 20 bucks. And so the guy that got forgiven $10 million has the guy who owes him 20 bucks thrown into jail. So the day of reckoning came. And so some of his fellow servants saw this. Evidently they were appalled by that. And so they ratted him out to the king. "Your sins will always find you out," Scripture tells us. And if you were me, it always happens. If I ever stub my toe, there's one of you around to see it. And so the king then is absolutely enraged. And he calls the guy in. He says, "Man, I cannot believe this. I just let you off the hook for $10 million. And you won't let somebody off the hook for 20. There's something wrong with that guy, isn't it? Something bad wrong with that guy. It shows his heart was wrong. It shows he was a con man. It shows he was in it all for himself. Because if he, having received this incredible gift of forgiveness, overwhelmed by the size of that, didn't even have it in himself to let a guy off the hook for 20 bucks. And then the king turns the tables on him. He says, obviously what happened to you made no impact on you, and so I'm changing my decree. You're the one going into prison, and you're not getting out till you have paid back every dime. That's a just sentence, wouldn't you think? I would. But then he throws in that last verse, which tells us why he told the story in the first place. So also, my heavenly Father, that's God, will do to every one of you, that's us, if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. That's strong words, isn't it? I think about Luke chapter 7, verses 41 through 43. Again, it's Jesus Christ. He says, a certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more? Simon answered, the one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt. And he said to him, you have judged rightly. And so everybody has sinned against God. Everybody some, everybody a lot. And I would just tell you that what he's telling us is, to the extent, now listen, this is the core issue. To the extent that you and I have truly experienced God's forgiveness is the extent to which we can forgive people who wrong us. And so if you cannot forgive people who've wronged you, it means you've got the same problem as this guy in the parable who could not let the guy off for 20 bucks. And so the key issue is for us, have we really received the gift of forgiveness? Now there's three steps that I want to lay before you today. The first is this. There is a gift in front of all of us. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. And so the offer is to every one of us that Jesus Christ stands ready to forgive you, to cleanse you, to let go, to cancel the debt. He died on the cross for that reason. His name means that. And so I would tell you that if you have never experienced the incredible forgiveness that God offers you for your sins, then I will tell you there is a gift right here in front of you today that you can receive. And when you receive that gift, it will absolutely turn your life around. It would be like the man who was forgiven the $10 million debt. It will absolutely change your life. It will change your perspective. It will put your life right side up. And I would just tell you that that is a gift that you can't give yourself, but it is a gift that you must receive from the Lord Jesus Christ. The second step. We got to forgive ourselves. A lot of people who struggle, not able to forgive themselves. They have failed. They have fallen short. They have simply not met their own expectations, and their issues, that things that they have done, and they're guilty about it, and they just can't forgive themselves. Well, I would just say to you that if Jesus Christ saw enough worth in you to forgive you and to die for you, and if He can forgive you, then my friend, you've got to be able to forgive yourself. And just say, God, on the basis of the gift you've given to me, I receive that forgiveness from you. And God, I'm going to have to forgive myself for being the scoundrel that I am, the failure that I have experienced, and the heartbreak that I've caused. If you don't do that, guilt is going to follow you in your life. Shame is going to follow you in your life, and you'll never get away from it. And it will eventually make you into a very bitter, pessimistic, and unhappy person. But then there is a third step I'd like for you to consider today. And that is to forgive others who've hurt you. You say, well, I don't know why I need to do that. Well, read the parable. Read the parable. If God has forgiven you all of your sins, how could it be that you couldn't forgive somebody who's hurt you? And if you're unable to forgive someone who has hurt you, it means there is an issue on your forgiveness from God in the first place. There are red flags. Now, there's several different categories of people we need to forgive. Sometimes somebody hurts us and they know they hurt us, and they come to us and they say, I'm sorry for what I've done. Will you forgive me? And when somebody comes to us, our answer is always, yes. Wouldn't it be bad if we went to God and said, God, you know, I thank you for forgiving me for some stuff, but here's some other stuff. Will you forgive me for that? And Jesus said, no, I don't think so. That's not how He works. And since He works in total forgiveness, so do we. I forgive you. Now, there could be some people here today that you're the one that have hurt some others. You did it on purpose. And you need to go to them and say, will you forgive me? I passed a bad report on you. I said some stuff about you to another person. I did this to you. And I want to tell you, you need to get free today. And you need to go tell somebody that and ask them to forgive you. And if they know Christ, they will. And so we forgive people who come to us. But what about those people who hurt us and they don't come to us? They don't come and they don't tell us, I'm sorry. Well, I would say that sometimes people hurt our feelings and they don't even know they did it. But even those people, He says, forgive them. You're saying, wait a minute, preacher, you're telling me that if somebody does something to me and they don't even acknowledge it, I'm supposed to forgive them? I didn't really say that, but this parable is teaching that. Forgiveness. Back years ago, I was pastor of another church, and I don't know if you can believe this or not, but it's really true. This church was really mean and ugly to me. Can you believe that a church would be mean and ugly to me? And it was within my ability, within my reach, to actually get the upper hand and win the battle. But that would have been very damaging to a lot of people. And so you know what I did? I just got before God and I said, God, here's what these people have done. You know what they've done. And so, Lord, I choose to forgive them. Because let me tell you something, forgiveness is a choice. And I said, God, I just choose to forgive them. Now, you've heard people say, well, you got to forgive and forget. That's not in there. Do you see that in there? I didn't forget it, but I forgave. And here's what I found. As time passes, you do forget. I cannot go back now and tell you the details of all that happened then. The only way that I could do that would be if I went back and wrote down and read what I wrote down when it happened, because having forgiven them, I don't think about it. And I'm not getting bitter about it. I'm not upset about it. Because there is a freedom that comes in forgiveness. And so I would just tell you, if you're harboring a list, man, I've got these people, they've done me wrong, I'm just waiting for a chance to get back at them. And one day, I'm going to get them. I want to tell you, you're going to grow as the years go by and end up being very bitter and cynical and unpleasant. Now, I've told people that my goal in life is to grow up to become a cynical, mean old man. But I really don't want to do that. I'm already cynical and mean. Kind of old. But seriously, to have a spirit that is sweet and gentle and a blessing to others, you've got to get free of the resentment and the bitterness that comes from not forgiving people who hurt you. And now I tell you, this is the gift that you can give yourself, the gift of forgiveness. And it's a gift that will keep on giving for your whole life. So maybe you're searching for that perfect gift. Let me tell you something. God has a perfect gift for you. It's a gift of forgiveness. Jesus Christ, whose name means Savior, has come to save you from your sins, to forgive you. That is a wonderful gift. And because you receive that gift, then you have a chance to give yourself the great gift, forgiving yourself and forgiving others. And that's the gift that keeps giving. And you can give that gift to your own self today. I would ask if you would to please bow your heads, to close your eyes. In just a few moments, we're going to sing another song of praise to our Lord. Before we do that, I want to ask you a couple questions. First question is this. Can you point to a place and a time in your life where you actually received Jesus Christ and you experienced and welcomed His forgiveness? I would remind you that one of the last things that Jesus Christ said on the cross was, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." If you have never received that gift of being forgiven more than $10 million, I mean forgiveness for all of your sins, all of it. While we're singing this song in a moment, we have staff who are at the front. Would you just kind of make your way to one of the staff while we're singing and just say, "I would like to receive that gift today. Forgiveness." It'll be the best thing you've ever done. And then, perhaps, you've received that gift, but you're struggling with forgiving yourself. You know that you've just done things, the guilt is tied on to you and you can't shake it. Perhaps that gift just needs to be for you to say, "God, based on what you've done for me, forgiven me, I, Lord, want to forgive myself for what I've done." Maybe that's the part of the gift you need today. And then I would say this. You have a list. You got some folks that's done you wrong, that have hurt you, manipulated you, and you're harboring resentment. Would you give yourself an incredible gift today to just tell God and yourself, "I choose to forgive them"? Doesn't mean they have to be your best buddy. Doesn't necessarily mean you even have to like them. But you forgive them. You'll be taking the bonds and the chains off your life and stepping into freedom. Maybe that today you'd like to come as we're singing and just kneel on these steps and have a few moments with God, giving away some forgiveness the way Jesus Christ has given forgiveness to you. And as always, if you're visiting with us, we thank the Lord for you. And if God is directing you to become a part of this family of faith, we would love for you to become a member of our church today. Come and share with one of these staff that's what God's wanting you to do. We'll be delighted to welcome you into our church family. Forgiveness. It's the gift that keeps on giving. And then the key deal is, it's a gift you can give yourself. and it's better than a new deer rifle. So while we're singing, I invite you to give yourself the gift that keeps giving. Let's stand together as we worship. And I invite you, you just come right now, to make your way now as we begin to sing, to say that forgiveness, that's what I want. Would you come now as we sing?